This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to another special guest series here on the Authentic Persuasion Show. Super excited. So glad that you're here. If you're here, you're a part of this journey and this mission I have to help fill the world with authentic persuaders. And this show is meant to be your guide, whether you're in sales, sales leadership, or even as we're seeing here in professional sales education, to help you understand sales at a different level than maybe what you thought it was, and then do things differently and hopefully lead to more success, making more money, helping more people, and just feeling fulfilled. I am excited for today's episode, for this part of one of the three-part series, where I have my special guest, Professor Dr. John Hansen from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB. He is a professor of marketing and the director of the Center for Sales Leadership at UAB. It's always a mouthful because there's so many titles that everyone has. He previously served as the faculty at the University of Southern Mississippi and at Northern Illinois University, received his PhD from the University of Alabama. Prior to enter academia, he had numerous sales and marketing related positions in industry for a Fortune 500 company. Professor Dr. John, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to be here. I really appreciate the time.
So I love kind of the journey you've had through different universities to get to this point, the kind of research, the kind of focus. Let's start, you know, this first segment is about authenticity. So talk about kind of your journey in sales and then into what you're doing now.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably one of those folks who would have told you 20, 25 years ago, I never in a million years would have seen myself in higher ed. Never did I ever think I would go down this path. I was out in industry. I was in sales. I eventually transitioned into marketing roles and I was climbing the corporate ladder. I was doing what everybody does. And I just happened to, at that time, have a father-in-law who was in higher ed. At that time, he was a provost at a university. And I got to talking to him about higher ed and opportunities that existed there. I'd always been interested I'd always enjoyed the classroom setting. And I began to realize the fact that this was doable. Something I had never thought doable was doable. I never saw myself as a professor. To be quite honest with you, I didn't think I was that person. I didn't think I could do what they did. I thought it would be too tough a hurdle to go back and get a PhD. But I learned that it is doable. And after much thought, much consideration, I made the decision to go back. I did so after 5 years, which you'll find, especially for folks who have a background in sales, that's about where you're hitting the threshold in that the opportunity cost associated with leaving become too great. The financial, what you give up financially, to be quite honest with you, becomes too great. So I made the decision to go back. I applied at Alabama, and for whatever reason, they accepted me into Alabama. And I think I'm a lot like many others who are now what you would label as sales professors. I couldn't go get a sales PhD at that point in time. It didn't really exist. This was 2001. So I had to go to a program that obviously was marketing oriented. It had a marketing PhD, but there were faculty there who had done a lot of work on business to business relationships, channel relationships. And they were very open to sales. I will tell you this, folks in higher ed and folks who engage in research very much like doing research on salespeople, because we have these true performance outcomes in terms of how effectively you're selling. We can examine those things against the variables we're looking at to determine performance. So I found someone who was willing to take on a dissertation that had a bit of a sales flair to it, but you know, still was more marketing driven. But then ultimately, and I will say this, the two universities you mentioned prior to me coming to UAB, the one common theme across all three of these universities is everyone had a sales center. And I made the decision I wanted to go to schools that had a sales center. I wanted to work within a sales center. I wanted to teach sales courses. I wanted to interact with industry. And ultimately, I wanted to be able to help match up students and opportunities in the sales field.
Okay, so something you mentioned is that you never thought you would be in higher ed because you didn't think you were that person, or you know, that let's say a professor. what did you think a professor did or would do, or, you know, where did that line up with what you realized or what, you know, found was more true for you?
Well, I'm going to be really honest with you. First of all, I didn't think I was smart enough. I did not think I could pass. And I don't want to bore the crowd, but you have to take the GMAT, which is an introductory test, which gets you in. It's like an ACT, SAT. And it's a high bar at the PhD level. I didn't think I could do well enough on it, but I think I learned how to take the test as much as anything. And I was able to get in. The other thing that concerned me a little bit, in all honesty, was I had this perception that while undergrad education and an MBA was very practical, my perception was that the PhD level was more theoretical and you were moving away from practice. I did not like that. I did not want to do research that I viewed as being too abstract. Now, fortunately, what I found is that's not the case. You can do high quality research that is very well received by our top journals, that is highly practical in nature. In fact, I would say that in the 20, 22 years I've been in this area, that's one of the things I've seen. They're pushing us more and more and more, as they should, for practical implications. But I think because of those two things, I was hesitant. And you know, I'll be honest, I wondered, can I do the research? Because I had always heard that, you know, while the teaching element is the fun part and you're with students, and it is fun, being in the classroom is a blast. You know, when you talk to folks in that field, and my father-in-law said the same thing, he said, the real differentiator is research. It's the currency, you know, like it or not, it's the currency we trade in. And if you can't publish at a high level, it's going to restrict you moving forward in terms of what type of university you're at. And I just wonder, can I do that? And what I found is, especially through the PhD program, I was trained on how to do that. And if you're trained correctly, you have the foundation necessary for success. But those were the concerns I had before I went back.
And part of why I ask, because that's interesting to hear, is what do you see or what did you think about sales? And if you had the ability to do sales versus what you thought a salesperson did, and or what do you see with your students?
You mean in terms of their belief that they can go out and be successful in sales?
Yeah. And even yours, when you first started in sales, right? Like the same kind of comparison of you could never see yourself as a professor or doing that because you didn't think X, Y, and Z, that you had those things. What did you think about sales when you got into it? And then what do you see with your students?
That's a great question. And let me just say for the audience, you know, I'm in my early 50s now, so I'm going to tell you a story and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but I vividly remember sitting in what back then was a sales class in the marketing curriculum. This was 1994. And imagine, if you will, being in front of the classroom as a, 22-year-old senior. I had a flip chart with me. And for 30 minutes, I stood in front of the class and all I did was fend off objections and close and close and close. That's all I did. And Jason, it was brutal. I remember coming out of that and thinking, who would want to do this? But, you know, you think about it, it was such a different time. It was such a different time back then. So for me, though I left that class wondering, I don't know if I ever want to do this. Here's the truth, and I'm sure you know this. If you're a marketing student, there's a high likelihood you're going to start in sales. And that's what I found when I was coming out as a marketing student. The vast majority of opportunities presented me were in sales. And I quickly realized this is where you start. This is what you do. Now, I saw things in that sales class that made me think, I don't know if I want to do this. However, even back then, even in the mid-90s, you were starting to see this initial transformation towards a more professional approach to selling. So when I went and worked for the organization I did, though we certainly we're not where we are now, I at least started hearing more about being a customer oriented, understanding your customer, questioning to understand, things like that, which resonated more with me than did standing up in front of the class with a flip chart and fending off objections for 30 minutes. For students I teach now, I would like to think it's a different experience. You may have heard this from others who talked about this, but we have an introductory class, an introductory sales class that all marketing students are required to take. And I think for many of the students in the class, it's enlightening in that they come into that class not really knowing what professional selling is. Business to business or business to consumer, it doesn't really matter. They have these perceptions in their minds of fast talking, slick, the gregarious, back-slapping type salesperson who walks into a room and immediately sucks all the air out of it. And what they say to me is, I don't want to be that person. To which I say, good, because I certainly don't want you to be that person either. That person's not, and the thing I tell them, Jason, and I think this is true, if you think in your own personal lives about someone you would not want to spend a lot of time with as another person, professional buyers are the same way. It's not like they get up in the morning and say to themselves, oh, I want to go deal with that type person. They don't. Be yourself. Be authentic. Be who you are. And we go down this long and winding paths where I hopefully impress upon them the fact that this stereotype they have in their minds is just not real. It's not real at all. And that many of the characteristics they bring into the classroom actually serve them well. I mean, I have so many students who will come up and tell me at the start of the term, Dr. Hansen, I'm nervous about this class. I'm not that person. They think in their minds they can't sell. And I tell them, I said, well, it's good you're not that person, because in saying that, I know you have a stereotype in mind and I do not want you to be that person. I want you to be who you are. Don't change one bit of who you are, but I want you to be intense, you know, really focused on the person sitting across the table from you and ways through which you can help them, even in role plays. And that resonates. And they start opening up a little bit more. Now, we are very, very open with them about the great things that can come from a career in sales, but also the challenges that exist in a career in sales. We will not sugarcoat anything. So they leave that class fully understanding what they're getting into. But I do think, and I would like to think, that they also leave that class with a better understanding of what it means to be a sales professional and not just a salesperson. And I tell them those are two very different things. And if you're going to be successful, you have to be a professional.
So before we get to that topic, where do you think even this younger generation that you're teaching, where do they get that conception of sales from? The part that they're worried about having to be like.
Yeah, it's the interactions they have had with ineffective salespeople. Traditional, transactional salespeople. That's where it comes from. Whether it be people calling them up during dinner and, you know, not letting them get a word in as they're just pitching a product, or if they've not that all car salesmen or fall into this category, but if they bought a car and they felt like they were pushed, you know, and uncomfortable in the process, it comes from that. It comes from the fact that they dealt with the wrong salespeople. Obviously, the vast majority of them have very, very little understanding of what business to business sales is. Mm-hmm. They have very little understanding of what higher end professional business to consumer sales is. They have built these perceptions based on things they have seen either in person, maybe in movies where the stereotype is perpetuated. So we have to break that and we take it on. The first day of class, I asked them for adjectives to describe salespeople, and I have more negatives than I do positives. And I've come to expect that. So the very first thing I want them to know is that's not our focus in this class. And if that's how you sell, you're not going to be successful. You're just not in today's business world where it's relationships over transactions. You can't be successful that way.
Okay. So what you were talking about, what is, in your opinion, and or what you're teaching the students, the difference between a salesperson and a sales professional, given that sales is not actually a profession?
You know, the thing I focus on most, and I call it value-added selling, is just this idea that as the salesperson, you are the sale. You know, we go in with the idea that the vast majority of physical products or even intangible services in some cases are very hard to differentiate upon. You know, if you're selling a physical product today, it's hard just to walk in and say, you know what, we just make a better product, because so many competitors can imitate what you do. And it's very hard to go in and say over a continual or long term, we just have a better price. We do everything they do, but we have a better price. There are so few salespeople out there who operate in that environment. So I tell them from the very start, we're going to assume that whatever it is you're selling, whatever that thing is that gets you in the door, whether it be an intangible service or a physical product, that's not the differentiator. Okay. It's got to be you. And when you start thinking that way, I think they start thinking about, hey, the most important thing I can provide is advice and education, and I'm consultative and knowledge. That's the difference maker. And we have just such this intense focus on service after sale and, the all those things necessary to really propel a relationship. I think one of the things I do is force them to disembark, if you will, from this idea that as a salesperson, I'm mainly just selling products. Mm-hmm. You're selling, it's the service that surrounds and envelops the product that is the differentiator. And though we might not have true professional certifications, I would argue that folks who at least think that way are more apt to act professionally in what they do, because they understand it's not the product they're walking through the door with. That's not going to get it done in business today. So we try to embrace that very early on and I guess provide that as a foundation such that it's a forced professionalization for them.
Yeah. And with that, when you're talking about the value add selling, and it's about the relationship, not the product, and I'm already making notes because I want to talk more about that in part two when we get to persuasion and the actual process. Where do you see authenticity fitting in with that? And because I like to ask multiple questions at once, how do the students embrace that? Again, you were talking about the stereotypes and what they think about and the negative connotations, and you're telling them what's really wanted out there in the world. How well do they embrace that? How well do they believe that? And then where does that fit into this value selling?
Yeah, so I'll start with the latter and then embracing it. And I'm going to tell you something interesting I see with my students that might surprise some. And I always say this, I typically enter with three groups in the classroom. I have one group that is adamant they want to go into sales. Typically, they have someone in their family, someone they are close to, who has what I would call a higher end professional sales job. So they see sales differently to begin with. And Jason, I'll be honest with you. One of the things they say is, I've seen that you can really do well financially in sales. And they're drawn to that. And I'm like, great. Okay. That's a good reason. I then have this other group that is scared to death. And all they're trying to do is get through this class. They've been dreading the class. They know this is the class where they have to orally communicate on a daily basis. They know this is the class where we do role plays. They know that they're going to be watched, critiqued, and broken down, their film, role play film is, by other students. And it terrifies them. And what they typically tell me, if they're being honest, is, Dr. Hansen, I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to get through. And then I have what I call the big middle. And that's the group that comes in and says, I don't know. And most of them are honest. And they're like, I keep hearing everybody tell me that so many marketing grads start in sales. So I'm thinking that might be what I do. I've heard that's the entry point into the organization. I've heard people say it's so critical you understand your customer and there's no better mechanism through which you can gain customer knowledge than a sales role. But they'll say, I'm nervous about this. I don't know much about quote unquote professional selling. When you say that to me on the first day, I'm a little confused. But the interesting thing is, getting back to them embracing this notion of value added selling, I oftentimes find that my perhaps even a little more hesitant students are some of my better students in terms of those things that are ultimately going to be necessary for them to be successful in sales. That is, they are more comfortable asking questions than they are talking about their product or service. A lot of them bring in what I like to call just an other orientation. That is, they are naturally inclined to be more interested in that other person across the table than they are in talking about themselves. On some occasions, and I'll go back to the story I mentioned, and I had one student, I'll never forget him, and he was great in hindsight, but he came up to me before the start of the term and he said, hey, Dr. Hansen, I want you to know this is the class I've been looking forward to. I'm a salesperson. I'm your guy. And he even said, I want you to be a little more, you know, I want you to be tougher on me than you are other students. Well, I don't know that I'm going to do that, but I'm glad to hear of your interest. And I look forward to seeing you develop over the course of the term. And he was a train wreck. All semester long, he struggled because he just would never shut up. He would never stop talking about himself or the product. You know, it's one thing to ask questions. It's something else to listen. He just never could buy into it. Now, I've followed him over the years, and he's doing fine because he has such a high motivation level, and he's learned, and he's broken habits. But I do see that on occasion. Sometimes the folks who come into the class saying, this is my class, are the folks who just, they're bringing in these habits that they think are going to be necessary for them to be successful in sales, and it's just the opposite. And on occasion, I'll have these students who are unsure as to whether sales are for them who actually end up being fantastic at it, because they are other oriented. They just naturally are drawn to asking questions, and they're able to craft creative solutions, and they go out and they do really well. But that's kind of the, you know, when you think of this transition and them buying into the notion of value added selling and putting the customer first, I see that evolution occur in students as they progress through the term.
And anybody who knows me, has heard me speak or read things that I put out there, knows that I totally agree. I was that person as well. Not sure if this is going to be for me, but you know, more of the, I don't want to do anything sales related. I mean, the punchline I say all the time is, you know, I chose sharks over people. My bachelor's degree is in marine biology, and literally sharks are way safer. You know, they're easy. They have one direction they go, and they have one thing on their mind, and they have one dangerous business end. And you just have to manage those things, which is way easier than humans. And so it's interesting though, because that part I found very true, where the person who doesn't just talk about themselves, and I love how you put it, where it's more that person we might call introverted, even though I tell people like you're very rarely ever going to meet a pure introvert because they are never going to come out. But somebody who puts the other person first, you know, tends to do better or different in sales and lead to a different experience, which then leads to my next question, which is, what are buyers looking for? And you obviously have a career that's expanded, you know, gone, let's say 30 years or from the 90s to now in sales and then teaching and research. What do buyers want from a salesperson, especially from the authenticity side?
I think buyers at their core want sellers who are willing to help them in the way they want to be helped. And I say that, and that's perhaps a bit of a loaded answer. But again, I'll trace the evolution. I think you know that way back in the day, back when I was coming out, the criticism was that salespeople don't really understand us and they don't ask questions. And man, we lit into spin. We went hard on spin, and everybody started asking situational problem implication and need payoff questions. And I was talking to buyers, and the thing I heard from buyers after a while was they all asked me the same questions. And the solutions I hear, for the most part, highly similar. I don't see a lot of creativity and solution across company and salesperson, but they don't really listen to me in terms of how I want to buy and how I want to interact. Like I'll tell somebody, this is what I need. I understand my business. You don't have to help me understand the implications of these issues or what the payoffs might be if we solve these problems. I know these things. It's almost like we treated buyers for a while as though they were lost, dazed and confused. And the buyers I talked to are like, that's not the case at all. The problem I run into is I'm dealing with salespeople and I'm telling them, this is what I need. I need you just to tell me how your product fits into my operational model. Talk to me about that. And they're like, well, before I can do that, I need to ask you some implication questions. They're like, no, I'm done. No, we're not doing that. And it's almost like we transitioned out of a product orientation amongst salespeople to a process orientation. And I ultimately think what buyers want most is for salespeople to respect them such that they'll interact with them in a manner that the buyers want to be interacted with. Whatever, you know, just let me tell you how I want this to go and adapt. And so many sellers resist that. And I see probably more of it with young developing salespeople, because you know this. You're like, I have a process. Man, I'm so motivated to be successful. Come hell or high water, I am sticking to this process. and you become more developed over time, and you become comfortable veering from that process, and you become comfortable asking a buyer a very important question. How do you want to buy? How do you want to buy? Tell me that. How do you want me to interact with you? And I'll do it. And I think we're at times a little hesitant to do that. In fact, I go through the typical spiel with my students where I say, how would you define selling? And they go round and round and this and that. And I tell them, I say, to me, selling should be whatever your buyer wants it to be. Now, there's parameters. If your buyer just says, hey, I want price, price, price. And I know on the selling side, you're going to say, no, you don't want price. I'm like, no, I really want price. Well, at some point, you're going to have to make the decision. We can either get price or we can't. And we may have to walk away. But I mean, that's what it should be. But we're just very hesitant with that. And I think what I have heard from buyers is that's frustrating for them, that mm-hmm. they can sense sellers trying to do the best job possible, but they feel at times as though sellers are a little too tied to process to really understand what the buyers are looking for in terms of how they want to buy.
Couldn't agree more. Perfect setup for part two, because we're going to dive into that when we talk about persuasion and process. Otherwise, this is going to be a really long first part. For people tuning into this, please make sure to join us for the next part of the conversation, which will be about persuasion and the sales process. Dr. John, your links will be in the show notes, but for people tuning in, if they want to connect with you, I know they can find you on LinkedIn. So John Hansen, Hansen. If they Google that, again, the link will be in the show notes. And then also the UAB, University of Alabama at Birmingham, the link will be in there, but the professional sales program, they can find that through the website. Probably easiest to Google it or go to the show notes. Dr. John, thank you for being here and sharing this. So much good stuff in the first part, just on authenticity as we dive into the rest. And I appreciate you coming on here, sharing this and the work that you're doing with the future salespeople.
Great. Thank you, Jason.
And for everyone tuning in, thank you for being here. As I say from time to time, there's a reason you're here. There was something that you were supposed to get from this. Hopefully you got it. Hopefully you took lots of notes. The stuff that Dr. John was saying resonated so much with me. I have a ton of notes that I'm taking. Please do not just let this be something you listen to and then you go back out there in the world. Please help change the way sales is done from the dirty word and the list of dirty phrases that Dr. John's talking about, the students list out of what they think sales is versus what it could be as a sales professional, like he was talking about. And until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.